profilings, when before they even know you or know anything about you, they assume generally by your skin color or your background that you're into something bad and without knowing who you are personally, you know? And then we saw three more cars just pull up in front of us, and they came out with the guns and told us to put your hands behind your head. When they were about to leave, I was like, what is going on? What's this all about? They're like, you fit the profile. I was like, what profile? You know, I'm like, I'm black, I'm a female, he's a tall guy, and the other one is a short guy, so there's no match between the three of us, but we're all black. And they didn't find anything, they didn't charge us for anything. And this issue was just like forgotten, as usual, most racial profile cases, that's what happened. How I see it is that they do their job, it's a job. But some of them will abuse power. I've met officers that are the nicest people ever, and then I'm going to meet officers that come in and they really abuse their power. I'm just always saying, don't walk away if you see somebody you know or anybody having problems with the police, because you could end up watching the news and find out this person got killed by the police officer. They have a camera videotape, that's what they hate most. They do not want videos of their actions online. There's YouTube, there's everything, they don't want that video. But if you have a camera, just videotape and tell them I could use this against you.
Calm down, people, please calm down. Let us please proceed with the defendant's explanation.
You are listening to an anonymous testimony from the Project X about racial profiling in Montreal. To find out more about the Project X, call 514-872-9444 or log on to theprojectx.ca or email info@theprojectx.ca.
Racial profiling.
Racial profiling is when, before they even know you or know anything about you, they assume generally by your skin color or your background that you're into something bad and without knowing who you are personally, you know? When I went through it, I wasn't the only person that was shocked, really. It was the people on the street, because everybody knows me around here. And, you know, I go to school, I know I have my shoes, things together, I have a job, you know, I'm the kind of person that you wish your child was. And they see the police coming at my face and there's guns in my face and, you know, people were like, what's going on? And that's what I could really see. I wasn't even paying attention to what the police was saying. I was really looking at who's watching me and what their facial expression was telling me. And this woman was like, what did you do, you know? So
why did the police pull their guns on you? Like, can you start at the beginning of what happened there?
I came out, I went to the store, got a drink, and I saw two guys who were standing there. I knew them, so I came up to them and started talking, and we saw a police car pull up and just parked around the corner, so we're like, okay, whatever. And then we saw three more cars just pull up in front of us, and they came out with the guns and told us to put your hands behind your head. So I was still like, I was holding a drink and I was like, what's going on? You know, I didn't think I had anything to do with it. When you know you don't do anything wrong, you don't.
Yeah.
And they're like, you drop the drink and put your hands behind your head. So I did that. And they took the two other guys, they took them, and when they were about to leave, I was like, what is going on? What's this all about? They're like, you fit the profile. I was like, what profile? You know, I'm like, I'm black, I'm a female, he's a tall guy, and the other one is a short guy, so there's no match between the three of us, but we're all black, you know? And he's like, oh, get on my face, I'm going to arrest you for drinking a beer on the street. I said, no, it's a mall, there's no alcohol. So when they left, they took the two other guys. About less than an hour later, I saw them back on the street. They're like, okay. They said somebody called and somebody had a gun. Somebody wearing a red shirt and a red hat. I'm like, there's only one guy wearing a red shirt. Oh, he could have passed you the gun. I said, but you looked at me, why didn't you search me if you think he could have passed me the gun? They had no reason to search me. So I went as far as meeting the police commissioner and everything, and he told me that I was interfering with the investigation. I was like, what investigation? When your officers were about to leave, me standing there with my hands still behind my head. So there was no investigation if you didn't search me, you didn't look at what's going on really, you know. And they didn't find anything, they didn't charge us for anything. And this issue was just like forgotten as usual. Most racial profile cases, that's what happened. Yeah. And that's made one thing that just pushed me to be more involved in the community and trying to help the youth know what's going on, what they go through, because I've lived here long enough to see what happens, you know.
Do you think there's a strong, like, sense of community around this issue? Like, do people, like, come together around this stuff?
The thing is, people, as much as they care about it, they know, because you're going against the police, who happens to be the guard they're supposed to protect and serve, you feel like anybody above the police is always worth the police. So people want to help, but they feel like there's no point in doing it because they're not going to get anywhere. You fill out a form, the form is going to get torn off, like, in pieces as soon as you walk out the police station and say, you know, and you talk about what was going on. So when it happened, everybody was talking about it. They said, oh my God, you know, it's sad that you had to go through it already at a young age, but there's nothing more they feel like you could do. Even when I met Sonia Beadle at the time, I spoke to her about it, and they were giving me the same runaround. I fill out a form, and I'm like, what is going to happen? I did it already. If politicians can't even help you, you know, how do you feel like you're going to go anybody above the police? So in Quebec, you can't go to the people. So that's...
So do you feel like it goes, like, higher than the police? Sound like racial profiling is something that the... Do you feel like the government cares about it? Or, like, that there's an interest, like, beyond just, like, people, like, of color who are being profiled? Or do you feel like the media supports you, or, like...
I don't think the media supports us, because when there's a stereotype that most black kids, you four black people hanging together as a gang, we, you know, we're loud on the bus, we start to instigate violence, we're seen as aggressive and so on. Once we say something against the police, it seems like more the police is doing their job and we were just doing something bad. That's what I realized when there was a young man that got shot in a building over there, and I was in the West Island. The police came up to me and was like, do you know this girl? I said, no. I really don't know, most girls around here, I don't really speak to them, so I don't really know much about them. And he's like, when something happens to you, we won't show up. That's what a police officer was investigating a murder told me. Just because I told him I really don't know who he's asking about, and I really don't know much girls around here. He feels like the typical answer, like, I didn't hear anything, I didn't see anything, I don't know anything, is what he thought he was getting out of me. And he answered me that we won't show up when something happens to you.
That's crazy.
You know?
That's just mean. Do you find that it happens in, like, other institutions as well? Like, what do you think about, like, school or, like, the doctors? Or do you find that it's mostly a police issue around here?
Well, so I went to St. Nick over there, and racial profiling, I went through it in the school at the time. When I just started that school, I was a really shy person, and I wasn't really involved in anything. I would come to school, go home, and one day they called, it was just like they were calling all the black girls from all the classes. So they called my name and they asked us to come to a room, and when we got there was only black girls in the room. They said, we want to talk to you guys about the fights happening after school. They're telling us that it's not that you guys are involved in the fight, you guys are not the one having the fight, but you're encouraging the fight. And for that reason, we recommend that we keep you guys here until 4 o'clock when everybody left, leaves the school, and then we can let you guys go to avoid encouragement if the fight's happening.
Just black girls?
Yeah. It was a class full of black girls, and we thought we were back in the islands where it's many black girls in the school, you know? And people were like, no. If you don't call our parents, we never got into a fight, and I'm like, you don't know me. That was the first time I opened my mouth and said something to somebody in authority or anything about, I'm like, you don't know me? If you really know who you're calling, you would know that every day after school, I'm already home at 3:30 fight. And school finished at 3:20, so there is no way that I'm standing in front of school encouraging fights till 4 o'clock. And why is that you're not speaking to the people that was fighting? Understand?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, totally.
That was what shocked us, and they wanted to keep us there till 4, and I'm like, oh, we expect you guys to show up, or else. I'm like, or else what?
And did people show up?
Nobody showed up. Everybody went on home, because I don't find that's any, like, I'm like, the Latinos were the ones fighting, there was the Latinos, there was Arabs, there was a whole clique thing going on, you know, everybody had their clique. So if you're going to try to stop a fight, you have to get each clique together and talk about that, but don't tell me you're going to talk only about girls and think fights will stop.
Mm-hmm.
And violence actually got even worse, you know, there were stabbings at that school sometimes. But, you know, after that, that's when I first opened my mouth and they started knowing my name, and I went as far as doing security in that school.
Okay.
And I became somebody that they respected more than before, because they were like, she is still trying to get into fights, she's popping the violence, she's intervening, she's talking to you. That's where I really started when I first became that kind of person, was from that school, from that experience.
Okay.
I find that racial profiling, it depends on how you use it, it's going to always be there, you know? It's a situation that's there, it goes on every minute, but you have to use it to your advantage. Turn it into something good into something negative. I'm like, I see people, the way they approach police officers, that I see that, how I see it is that they do their job, it's a job. But some of them will abuse power. I've met officers that are the nicest people ever, and then I'm going to meet officers that come in and they really abuse their power. And there's officers I see, and I'm like, we come, we shake hands, we speak here for hours, and then he goes on his visit. Because he's a human being first, before he's an officer. But some people are officers before they're a human being. So that's how I see it, you know? I'm not going to say all cops are bad, that's a lie. But I'm not going to say all of them are good either. Because some of them are always proving us wrong every minute, like, with what they do and how they handle the situation. Any questions?
So, specifically, how would you, like, what would your advice be to, like, I guess, younger youth in terms of, like, surviving, you know what I mean? Like, in terms of, like, coping with this and maintaining, I guess, not, like, just confidence, but, like, motivation to want to be a part of, like, society, I guess.
Get to know your, first of all, get to know your rights. Police officers do not like people who know their rights. When they come in and search you illegally, if you don't know your rights, speaking about the police, here they are.
Just on time, actually, the last people we were interviewing was like, wait 15 minutes and they'll be here.
And I'm saying, get to know your rights, really. Because once they know what they're doing is wrong. But when they know that you're aware of what they're doing is wrong, you understand? They're more likely to hold back on the action, searching you, pulling guns and so on, ask questions. They will get mad at you, obviously, that's what they were going to do, because they don't like that you're asking questions relating to their job, because they think they really know their job and they know what they're doing. For example, when I was drinking a drink, he's telling me he's going to arrest me, but usually when somebody's drinking on the sidewalk, you give him a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, if you're going to arrest me, take me with the bottle and bring me to court with that bottle.
Yeah.
Because you will be the one looking like an ass in front of the judges and everybody telling me you're charging me something that has no alcohol. Always use the law to your advantage. It's there, it's in the libraries, it's everywhere, it's on the internet, just use it. Criminal code, anything, charter of rights, use it to your advantage. And disrespecting anybody is wrong, disrespecting the cops is also wrong, because he's also a human being first. You have to remember that. So if you insult him, he's going to take it personally sometimes. And how he reacts all depends on his mental state. So I've seen people curse police officers, and I've seen police officers arrest guys and bang their head on the car. And when I said, officer, you're not allowed to do this, he told me, if you don't go away, I will arrest you too. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But if you see these things that happen, don't just close your eyes and walk away. Stay there. Watch it, because they don't want a witness to their actions. They don't want somebody knowing what they did. Because if you're going to arrest me, you will have to say, why did you arrest me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just because I was looking at what you're doing and what you were doing was wrong. And he was kicking the guy, they kicked him, three officers on one guy, kicking him, banging his head, because he was asking, like, please just let me go, and he was arguing with his girlfriend, the girlfriend called the police, and now, the girlfriend comes out, and she's like, don't hurt him, because she realized she didn't put him, she called the police to calm the situation down, but not to make it worse when the police are beating up your boyfriend, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I'm just always saying, don't walk away if you see somebody you know, or anybody having problems with the police, because you could end up watching the news and find out this person got killed by the police officer. In a sense, so always make sure you're watching what's going on. Even though you don't intervene, just watch it and make sure you know. If you have a camera, videotape it, that's what they hate most. They do not want videos of their actions online. There's YouTube, there's everything, they don't want that video. But if you have a camera, just videotape and tell them, I could use this against you. Because that's when they will calm down and don't hurt the person they're arresting. They comport themselves in a civil manner. That's how I realize that. I've seen my friends already sold tapes to CTV and all these things, and realize when police are doing something wrong, they will change their action if it's on the camera or something like that.
And bring that footage to Project X.
Hey, anywhere to get it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Any form, YouTube, Project X, go on the website, whatever it takes, just put the footage out there. People who want to see, that want to know what's going on. So when they actually confront the situation, they know how to handle it, you know? You teach by experience, right? So.
Yeah.
To find out more about the Project X, call 514-872-9444 or log on to theprojectx.ca or email info@theprojectx.ca.